And now, Robert Trout in the news, direct from the NBC newsroom in New York, presented by Pillsbury. Every man holds tender memories of homemade berry pies. Make your man his favorite kind with the new Pillsbury pie crust mix. It's easy and quick to do. You just add water, and you get tender, flaky crust every time with Pillsbury pie crust mix. Each package is 9 full ounces. That's ample for a big 2-crust pie, with plenty of bottom crust to hold in those precious berry juices. Bake a tasty berry pie soon. Get Pillsbury pie crust mix. And now, Bob Trout with the latest news.
First, the bulletin. Yugoslavia has just invited all communist parties to attend the 5th Congress of Yugoslavia's Communist Party in Belgrade on the 21st of July. What is it? Yugoslavia trying for a showdown or just trying to make peace with the communists of other countries who've been attacking Yugoslavia's Marshal Tito? Too early to say yet. The plot thickens in Eastern Europe. The United Nations have revealed the terms for a permanent peace in the Holy Land offered to Arabs and Jews by Count Bernadotte, the UN mediator for Palestine. The Count's plan calls for the transfer of southern Israel to the Arabs and the transfer of western Galilee to the Israelis. It would make Jerusalem part of the Arab state, but would provide autonomy for Jewish residents of the city and protection for the holy places. The status of the port city of Jaffa would be re-examined, Haifa would be made a free port, and Lydda would become a free airport. Those are the terms, but their announcement brought no cheer to United Nations diplomats, for Arab leaders already have rejected them, and Israeli officials are expected to do the same thing tomorrow. At Orly Airfield, just outside Paris, a sensational burglary today. Thieves broke into an office safe there at the airfield and got away with several $100,000 worth of gold dust. It was so heavy that the burglars passed up entirely about $100,000 in paper money in the same safe. Here at home, everyone seems to be spending this 4th of July weekend talking politics. And at the center of the discussion is General Dwight Eisenhower. You know that a group of prominent Democrats are making their plans for a caucus in Philadelphia next Saturday in the hope of finding a way to put the general on the ticket. And this afternoon, New Jersey Democratic leader Frank Haig called a caucus of the New Jersey delegation, presumably to discuss this Eisenhower boom. Even the latest no comment from the general, even that is being taken as encouraging news by the Eisenhower supporters, for they're pointing out that his statement was, "No comment until further notice." And they think those three words, "until further notice," do have significance. As Senator McClellan of Arkansas puts it, Ike didn't say no. He certainly left the door open for a bandwagon that is rapidly picking up speed. Here's a little sports oddity. Up at Boston, the Red Sox were playing a close game with the Athletics up to the 7th inning. Then Red Sox power made itself felt in the last half of the 7th. The Boston Sluggers came in with 14 runs, a new record, 14 runs in one inning. A messenger at New York's Aqueduct Racetrack is still trembling today at the thought of what might have happened yesterday when he was called to a box seat, handed $200, and told to bet it on a horse named Royal Tartan. But the messenger was absent-minded. He bet the $200 on the wrong horse, Firepoint, and the wrong horse won. If the horse he was supposed to bet the money on had won, that messenger would be in real trouble today trying to get the money to pay the man who'd hired him. As it is, the messenger gets the $5,925 that the wrong horse won for him. No moral to it, just an accident that happened to a lucky messenger boy who's still trembling. And now for Pillsbury, here's Arthur Gary.
Thank you, Bob Trout. Pillsbury pie crust mix is the modern way to get marvelous quality in the pies you bake. Tender short crust, the light, flaky kind that cuts at the touch of a fork. It's easy to fix, it's fast. You can make it while the oven heats, and you're sure to get perfect pie crust, rich with the flavor of fine shortening. Yes, that's why Pillsbury's is America's largest selling pie crust mix. Get a package soon and see for yourself. And listen again next Sunday at this time for Robert Trout with the news, brought to you by Pillsbury, greatest name in flour. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is Ben Grauer, friends. For the next 25 minutes, we're going to let you paint a self-portrait. Yes, picture yourself not as Joe Smith or Mildred Brown, but as Mr. and Miss or Mrs. American. The paints for your self-portrait will be questions you already have answered about yourself. Your brush will be...
My name is George Gallup.
Yes, that analytic man you all know for his Gallup pose. And the occasion...
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
So stand by, Americans, for a good look at yourselves after 172 years of pursuing happiness. Living 1948, brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliated stations, in honor of our national birthday, holds up its radio mirror today to you, the listener, in a drama document entitled
American Self-Portrait 1948.
Here again is your narrator, Ben Grauer. Long before there was a United States of America, there was a city called Athens. In it there lived a man named Socrates. And he left to the world a philosophy expressed in two words.
Know thyself.
Today the ancient city of Athens is in ruins. Yet those two words have lived through 24 centuries.
Know thyself.
So that you may know thyself, America. As you play an increasingly responsible role in the world, we propose today to present Homo Americanus. In other words, the typical American, 172 years after independence. Customs, habits, fears, likes and dislikes, opinions, prejudices, and blind spots, as revealed by many years of poll-taking by the American Institute of Public Opinion. And here is the Institute's president, Dr. George Gallup.
Thanks, Ben. From a brush, as you characterized me earlier. I ask only that it be remembered that the brush was wielded and the portrait itself painted by the American people.
Caution noted and granted, Dr. Gallup.
Perhaps before we begin to paint our self-portrait, it wouldn't be a bad idea to go back and see what the first Americans were like.
Good idea.
Then I give you your predecessors as pictured by our historians around the year 1776.
The American people, 1776. Total, about 3 million, hugging the Atlantic coast. Less than the population of Chicago today. Most of English stock, most farmers. 1/3 of the population legally unfree. Men and women married early, usually had 6 to 10 children. Amusements, dancing, taverns, coffee houses, cockfighting. Religion, an important part of life. Education. Many persons still signed with an X. They couldn't write their names.
So, those were the average Americans of 1776, eh, Dr. Gallup?
Yes, and few as they were, they didn't know themselves anywhere near so well as we know ourselves today.
No wonder there are no Gallup polls. Well, sir, the canvas is stretched from Maine to California. And Living 1948 invites you, Dr. Gallup, to help America see itself 172 years after July 4th, 1776.
American Self-Portrait 1948. Physical characteristics.
Stand still, Mr. Typical, please. Are ready to take this down, nurse?
Yes, doctor.
Mr. Typical America. Height, 5 feet 9 inches.
5'9".
Weight, 159 pounds. Thank you. If you'll just step down. Now you, Mrs. Typical. Hold steady.
Yes, doctor.
5. Mrs. Typical American. Height, 5 feet 4 inches.
5'4".
Weight, 132 pounds.
Really?
Most of us have blue eyes, Ben, as well as brown hair. And we have a great many gripes about our physical condition. 1 out of 3 complains.
Let's call it a day, Gwendolyn. I couldn't shop another minute. Oh, my feet are killing me.
1 in 5 have trouble with...
Didn't get it. Come again?
Hearing, eh? Check. And our eyesight, too, is not so good, with half of us wearing glasses all the time.
Tell me, what about our general health, Dr. Gallup?
1/3 of us are like this American.
Do you know what my new diet's done for me? I've lost 4.5 pounds in 7 days.
As for cold...
this happens to me every winter. Sometimes even in July.
Most Americans tell us, though...
The diseases I'm most scared of, and I'm always thinking I'm coming down with them, are cancer and tuberculosis.
Yet heart trouble kills more than twice as many of us.
That's revealing.
But in spite of these scattered fears and complaints, Ben, we're not a nation of hypochondriacs.
So? What's the evidence?
The fact that 6 out of every 10 of us, in reply to the traditional greeting...
Well, swell to see you. How you feeling, Joe?
Admit and mean it.
Good. How's yourself?
Well, so far, Dr. Gallup, you've sketched our physical traits.
I didn't, Ben. The people did.
Ah, yes, that's what I meant. Now, how about filling out that sketch?
Well, I'm new at this artist business, but I was just coming to that.
American self-portrait. Marriage and children.
Here, Ben, I think I'll let you hear for yourself a typical wife and husband. First, a typical American wife.
Oh, dear, you startled me so. I was right in the midst of fixing Henry's dinner. My ideas on marriage, did you say? Well, just a minute till I wipe my hands. There. Well, the way I look at it, I don't think a girl should marry until she's at least 21. And I think long engagements are better than short ones. A girlfriend of mine... Oh, but that's another story. Well, once you're married, I think husbands and wives ought to try to be like partners, especially about money, because I don't think either one alone should control the family purse strings. I think they ought to share in the job together. Unfortunately, that's what Henry and I have most of our arguments about, money. You know, he had the nerve to say... What? Well, kindness, good temper, consideration. I think that's far more important than a husband having ambition or good looks. Oh, of course, I do wish men were more romantic after they get married. Why, I remember when Henry... Well, one thing I don't like, though, I think it's silly for a man to kiss a woman's hand, don't you? Ugh, those movies. But he ought to take his hat off in an elevator. That's the least he can do. Make divorce easier? No. You know, I think once you're married, you ought to do everything in the world to make a go of it.
Now let's meet a typical American male and hear his ideas on the subject. This one's a mechanic.
Well, I'm no expert, mind you. But if you ask me, I think the most important thing about a wife is to be a good friend. Sounds funny, I know, but that's what I mean. A good companion. Next, it'd help a lot if she had brains. And after that, I'd put a good homemaker. Girls nowadays? What I don't like about girls nowadays is they do too much kissing and petting before they get married. Sure, I think married men are happier than bachelors. But where the bachelor's got us, they don't have to put up with yadda-ta, yadda-ta. Well, if I have any advice at all, it's don't get married on less than $50 a week. What? Vote for a woman for president? Oh, heaven protect us.
Oh, that's marriage as we Americans see it.
At least, that's what they tell us.
And what do we tell you about children?
The average American says...
I think 3 children are just right. But I don't think the first child should come along till about the 2nd year, after husband and wife have grown accustomed to marriage. But once baby does arrive, I think the husband should help take care of it.
You mean husbands actually agree to that last part?
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
The reason? Husbands are non-committal on the subject. But like wives, they're ambitious for their children...
Well, Dr. Gallup, our American self-portrait beginning to shape up. Where do we dip our brush next?
Well, the best place to study any animal, human or otherwise, is by observing him in his home environment. How about that?
Home sweet home it is, then.
American self-portrait. Family life.
You, Mr. and Mrs. Typical American, are at home on a weekday evening. Listen to yourselves.
Let's hit the hay, Doris. What time is it?
10 o'clock.
Goodness me, yes. I didn't realize it was so late. I'll put out the cat. You check the door.
Only one-fifth of you have any trouble getting to sleep at night. But come 6:30 on a weekday morning, and all of one-third of you respond to the dawn of a new day something like this.
Time to get up, John.
No, give me 5 more minutes.
Uh-oh. Now, John, do we have to go through this every morning?
To get to work, those of you who work in the city travel on an average of 2 miles. Use up about 15 minutes. 1:30 of you go home to lunch. The rest of you take your lunch with you or eat in a restaurant or cafeteria. Children, and usually a pet of some kind, with 7 out of 10 of you preferring dogs to cats. When you sit down to your dinner at home, while 96% of you believe in God and a little more than half go to church, only 1/3 of you begin your meals with...
Shall we bow our heads? Father, we thank thee for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Mr. and Mrs. Average American at home, an essential part of any national portrait. But onward and upward with the arts, Dr. Gallup, where do we go from here?
How about using some of our bright gay colors and let Americans picture what they do with their leisure time?
American Self-Portrait, 1948. Recreation.
Hey, it's a home run, and it's in the stands.
Oh, the ump called it a foul. Tell the umpire. Tell the thumb.
The pleasure-seeking American male shapes up to this picture.
Yeah, I guess you can say I like to watch baseball and football best of all. Also gamble for fun once in a while, penny poker with my friends, or maybe in a football pool. And I'm a sucker for...
Under G-22. G-22.
Bingo!
What about recreation on a family plane, Dr. Gallup?
Then, Ben, you get something like this.
Oh, there's a curve coming up, William. Oh, there's a car coming.
Yes, I see it, dear. I see it.
Oh, Sunday driving, eh?
The favorite pastime of half the families who own automobiles. Yet, if you ask the average driver...
What's your license number, mister?
The vast majority of them would reply...
Well, let me see. Well, anyway, it's got more than one number on it.
I'm not surprised.
Another favorite American pastime is eating out of an evening. And if the typical citizen could order absolutely anything he wanted, regardless of cost, he tells us he would order like this.
Well, what'll it be, gentlemen? We've got some excellent chicken cacciatore.
No, no, none of that fancy stuff for me. I'll have, fruit cup, vegetable soup, steak and potatoes, peas, apple pie a la mode, and coffee.
Right away.
Popular recreation of the American people. 26% of us can play the piano.
Like our piano playing president.
And the song, Let Me Call You Sweetheart, ranks among America's 3 favorite tunes.
Well, Dr. Gallup, so much for our typical American points of view on marriage and children, our family life, and our fun habits. What next, sir?
Well, before we go on to other and more significant aspects of our portrait, Ben, it might be wise to do a little touching up.
Meaning what?
Up to now, I've been helping to paint the typical American as reflected by majority habits and opinions. But the portrait would hardly be complete without some pretty amazing reflections of the minority.
Well, what do we call this section?
I suggest some national blind spots.
American Self-Portrait,
the National Blind Spot.
I beg your pardon, sir. We're taking a poll. Could you tell us the name of our country's national anthem?
National anthem, let me see. God Bless America?
11% of you, America, cannot correctly name our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Consider your reading habits, America. If we polled you today, the chances are, judging from past polls, that 82% of you men and 70% of you women will have read...
Say, did you see what happened to Dick Tracy today?
If you ask me, Akers or Riley better look out for Hillsville.
Got something up his...
But only around a quarter of you would have read even one paragraph of...
Reds refuse to lift Berlin hunger siege. A flat refusal by Soviet Marshal Basile.
Now, here's a map. Would you please point out the location of Czechoslovakia?
Czechoslovakia. Well...
Only one out of four Americans can locate Czechoslovakia, a country intimately associated with world affairs.
All right, let's try our own country, sir, the United States. Now, where is California on this outline map?
California.
Almost one in five of you cannot spot California on an outline map of our country.
Where is New York, please?
42% of us do not know where New York State is.
You're a voter, Mr. Average American. Well, here are some photographs of men prominent in national politics. Would you try to identify them, please?
Sure, what can I lose? Now, this guy here looks to me like...
Not more than six voters out of every ten of you, America, can identify Stassen, Warren, Martin, Burns, and Barkley. And when asked...
Do you consider the following men to be liberal or conservative in their political views? Robert Taft.
Liberal.
Henry A. Wallace?
At least 5% of you replied...
Wallace is a conservative.
Most of you, however, were undecided about either. But perhaps most surprising of all, when confronted with a picture of the president, 2% of you insisted...
I have no idea who that man is at all.
In other words, 1,800,000 Americans of voting age cannot identify the president of the United States.
Very interesting, Dr. Gallup. Very interesting. And now maybe it's time we use some deeper colors to reflect the more significant aspects of our self-portrait.
American self-portrait. Social attitude.
We Americans have a progressive attitude toward many social problems. We have time for only a few typical examples. Here they are.
You know, I was in favor of more frankness about venereal disease long before the health authorities started beating the drums for it. I just couldn't see any sense to silence. And I'm glad so many states require blood tests for all couples who apply for marriage licenses.
As for me, I'm convinced that we ought to teach our kids more about sex before they get married. I'm glad to know that I'm in the majority who'd like to see courses in sex education given in the high school.
What troubles me as much as any problem, I believe, is juvenile delinquency. I've given considerable thought to it. I can't help reaching the conclusion that parents, not the children, are chiefly to blame.
And these are all typical American attitudes, Dr. Gallup?
Exactly, Ben. The opinions you heard are held by most of the American people. Now listen to the most typical American opinion on international affairs.
American self-portrait, world attitude.
Do you think the United States will be involved in another war within the next 10 years?
Yes.
I certainly
no
do.
No question in my mind.
54% of our people answered in the affirmative, Ben.
The fear of war.
It's the major factor in the public's approval, shown in polls, of military training, selective service, and enlarging our Army, Navy, and Air Force. But the people are not retreating before that fair. Listen.
Do you think the United States and all the Western European countries participating in the Marshall Plan should join together in a permanent military alliance, that is, agree to come to each other's defense immediately if attacked?
I certainly do.
We shouldn't hesitate to join those other nations in a military alliance for our own safety.
To the tune of 65% of the American people, Ben.
In short, the U.S. public is not falling back into isolationism, not taking up with the idea of disarmament as after the last war.
True. Here, at least, history is not repeating. Now, on the subject of Russia, we asked many questions.
Do you think in dealing with Russia and other countries, the United States is insisting too much on having its own way?
Do you think the United States is being too soft or too tough in its policy toward Russia?
Do you think it would be a good idea or a poor idea for President Truman to call an international meeting with Stalin and heads of other nations to work out effective plans for peace?
The typical American attitude towards Russia, based on the answers given to these and other questions, can be summed up something like this.
You, America, are suspicious of Russia, but you don't want to start a war with her. You think the best way to prevent a war with her is by being firm. You're not interested in appeasement because you've discovered that appeasement does not prevent war. However, you still think it might be worthwhile holding a meeting with Russia.
Now, what about the United Nations, Dr. Gallup? How do most of us feel about that?
Well, here are the opinions for yourself.
Are you in favor of the United Nations organization?
85% of us answered.
Absolutely.
Why do you feel this way?
Principle, reasons?
It's the only solution to world problems in the atomic age.
Man will slaughter himself unless nations get together.
Are you satisfied or dissatisfied with the progress made to date by the UN?
Most Americans.
Dissatisfied.
Do you think there are any weak points in the UN organization?
Most Americans.
Yes.
What are they?
The veto power, for one.
Lack of cooperation, understanding, unity.
The fact that it doesn't have the power and authority to carry out its decisions. What do you think has been the main value of the UN up to now?
Well, its efforts to keep the peace.
Well, I'd say laying the groundwork for the future.
Do you think the UN should be strengthened to make it a world government with power to control the armed forces of all nations, including the United States?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes.
In short, Dr. Gallup, the typical American, while dissatisfied with the progress of the United Nations, wants to keep on trying, and is way ahead of most of his statesmen in the steps he's willing to take to strengthen it.
So the people say.
Well, Dr. Gallup, I guess our American self-portrait is finished. Tell me, how would you like to frame it?
I'd like to let James Bryce do that for us, the British author of the book, The American Commonwealth. In many ways, his words, written 60 years ago, may serve as a kind of frame for our self-portrait. Viscount Bryce said,
"The Americans are a good-natured, busy, humorous, sympathetic, hopeful people. They're an educated people, a moral and well-conducted people. They're, on the whole, a religious people. They have unbounded faith in what they call the people and in a democratic system of government. They do not, like their forefathers, expect to attain their ideals easily or soon. But they say they will continue to strive towards them and say it with a note of confidence that rings in the air."
To that, this 4th of July week, I should like to add one more interesting fact. When we Americans were asked,
"If you could be present at any major event in history, which one would you choose to see?"
we showed beyond a doubt how much we cherish liberty, equality, pursuit of happiness, and reveal the basic source of the responsibility we feel today for supporting those rights the world over when the majority of us answered,
"The historical event I'd like most to see is the signing of the Declaration of Independence."
Thank you, Dr. George Gallup, for helping us paint
American Self-Portrait, 1948.
Living 1948 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold, with script written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner, music conducted by Milton Catons, and program direction by Jack Cuney. Your narrator was Ben Grauer, who was assisted today by Dr. George Gallup, president of the American Institute of Public Opinion. Instead of its usual drama document, Living 1948, next week we'll make free time available to the Democratic National Committee for a program on the eve of their national convention. This is Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the national broadcast.